You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. Today on the ZabeCast, am I a turnover machine when it comes to facts, or do my awesome touchdown caliber takes overcome the occasional INT? How to get blocked and unblocked by me on Twitter. My man Gitter helps me recap all of week four. Plus Antonio Brown, still crazy. Your bonus 30-plus minute edition of Pure Me is locked and loaded. So buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. Thank you for downloading. I am ready to get into a full breakdown of week four of the National Football League, and I am also ready now that we are 4 weeks in, almost at the quarter pole, although technically it'd be after the first quarter of week five's games that we are truly a quarter of the way through the season. I believe now with four games, it's okay now to start digging into stats and saying Team X is number one in third down percentage, and Team Y is last in the league in rushing, or whatever the numbers are. I am also going to, now that we are at the quarter pole after tonight's Monday night game, or late last night's Monday night game, as I record this on Monday, I am now ready to start doing tiers of a clown. That's right. I am willing to put the teams on a shelf because I feel like we've seen enough. We've seen enough to start. No reason to start after week one or week two, although some people do. Hey, it's my week one power rankings. Okay. Based on 1 week. It's like blurting out the answer to a Wheel of Fortune puzzle that's 35 characters long after just one character. Q. Let's see. The Queen of England. No. Wrong. So that'll be fun. Gitter's going to come on here in just a second. But let me start with this. Being blocked by me on Twitter First of all, if you managed to do it, congratulations. It's a fairly rare thing. I don't think I've blocked more than 40 or 50 accounts. I haven't checked. I don't count because I don't really care. And what will get you blocked cannot be defined. It cannot be put into words, cannot be codified in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what. It's literally my mood as I'm reading your tweet. Too snarky? Blocked. Too shit-talky? Blocked. No humor in it? Blocked. If I noticed you've got some super fanboy logo or photo, or it's clear you're coming at me because how dare you not root for the Commanders anymore and look at you as a poser Packer fan? Blocked. Now, it doesn't mean that I won't unblock people. I have, and I will, after some gentle persuasion via electronic mail or some other way to reach me. But this guy went the extra mile. Peter Lindemann of Egg Harbor, Wisconsin, actually found the mailing address for iHeart Media in Milwaukee, home of 97.3 The Game, sent me a letter. Now, of course, I had my usual letter openers, my low-paid, hourly, disposable people that will be the first ones to get anthrax opening my mail. Not me. Open the letter. Just kidding. I opened it, but I was always like, oh boy, what is this? And he writes as follows. Dear Steez. Wow. Already a man of my heart. He's getting me going here because he knows the alternate inside joke nicknames. He says, here is my hey pal of $10 American to get me unblocked by @Zabe on Twitter. I can't go another NFL season without your quips. I don't know what I said to get blocked, but if unblocked, I promise to never at you again. And he included $10 in cash. He then transcribed word for word the great A Fish Called Wanda apology. I am really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis, in fact, and in no way fair comment, and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret that any distress my comments may have caused you or your family, and I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future. Please unblock me at PT Earl on Twitter, your loyal one percenter. So I took the 10 bucks, I threw away the letter, and I said, fuck you, you're still blocked. Oh! No, I'm pretty sure I unblocked good old Peter Lindemann. Although, Peter, if you're listening, if I didn't, let me know. I'll get in there and I'll unblock you. Now, there are some hosts that will say, you can Venmo me $5, $10, or whatever to get out of Twitter jail if you feel like I really do need your quips. I do need your Twitter stuff. But it's such a vile medium. It's such a cesspool of nonsense that I'm trying to be more and more detached from it every day. Trying, but not necessarily succeeding. The one thing I am thinking about doing, and you'll have to tell me if this would be great or a douche move, is that I'm thinking about pre-writing every now and then, depending on the topic, a, let's call it 10 to 12 tweet string that I then blurp out. Now, some of you are going, oh, God, don't be that douchebag. But some would say, no, actually, I like a 10 or 12 tweet string if it's well-written and thoughtful. I know me personally, I will read some people's 10 or 12 or even longer Twitter threads, and I'll say, you know what? I got a lot out of that. That was good. It was quick. It was easy. I scrolled it. I read it. I agreed with most of it, not all of it, but okay, cool. So if you want me to do that, just let me know and I'll see where the feedback comes in on that. But I'm kind of thinking about that. You know, once upon a time when I didn't get Twitter at all, I said, I don't get it. Like, why does anyone need to hear 240 characters or that or 280? Or at the time it was 140. Remember old school Twitter, 140? You really had to be concise. I was like, I don't get it. And then I read some tech article that described it as a micro blog. And that's when my mind went, Aha. Ding. Microblog. That's perfectly it. Because I have thought about getting back into blogging. And then I thought, nah, nobody reads blogs anymore, and these longer treatises just get you in trouble. It's like posting Martin Luther's doctrinations what did he post? Hold on. Martin Luther posting on door of church. Here we go. The 95 Theses. On October 31st of 1517, legend has it that the priest and scholar Martin Luther approaches the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, and nails a piece of paper to it containing the 95 revolutionary opinions that would begin the Protestant Reformation. Oh, did that stir up the world back in the day. Just, this is what I believe. Oh, yeah, fuck you. But anyway, I kind of got that historical factoid correct, right? I've also been told that I make too many mistakes by a number of people. And that, I'm going to take to heart. I need to, as Aaron Boone once scolded that poor rookie umpire, you need to tighten up. Tighten fuck up. It's true, I don't read articles and absorb them as well as I should. I'm too skimmy, I'm too flippy, I'm too scrolly like everybody else. You need to slow down. Read, comprehend, understand, retain facts. And just maybe instead of before opening my mouth, do just a minimal amount of research. Like today, I got something very, 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 very wrong about the bass tournament that was happening with the guy stuffing the fish full of weights. One, 'twas not a bass tournament. It was walleye. There's a difference. Number two, the fish do be brought in. They do be brought in. The fish are brought in live. They're not brought in dead. And if they're brought in dead, they don't count. It's actually a penalty. And that, I think, would help, obviously, from prevent guys from stuffing the fish full of lead weights, because they would seemingly die pretty quick if you shoved a couple of 8-ounce sinkers inside their bellies. I got that all wrong, and I should be better on that. There's no question about it. I got a very scathing email or text or tweet, or I can't remember where it came from, and now I can't find it. Just taking me to task for being wrong about something. And in part, they're right. In part, fuck you. People get shit wrong all the time. There's so many little tiny factoids, sports factoids from things and numbers. Like, for example, sometimes I get things wrong. And it's not technically my fault. Like this morning, I said that the Brewers tragic number, their elimination number was 2. Finally, Josh had to say, no, it's 1. And I go, wait, no, it's 2. I swear I saw it. And then I showed him. I went to MLB.com. I went to standings. Pretty reputable site, right? MLB.com, standings. And there's a column in the wild card tab of standings that says WCE, wild card elimination number. And it said 2. And I go, look, it says 2. And then I went and I hovered over the explanation bubble for what is WCE, and it says, does not take into account tiebreakers. Well, fuck a duck then. That number is wrong and worthless because the Brewers don't have the tiebreaker against the Phillies, so therefore, they're not 2 games away from being eliminated, they're 1. Now, who made that error, me or MLB?
You should have just counted the games, knowing the tiebreaker. I mean, seriously, you can't even count.
That's my point. I get shit wrong, but I'm going to try to tighten up the best I can everywhere and be more accurate. It'd be good for me, too, to just slow down and read some shit, right? Antonio Brown's gone crazy again. Wow, this guy. He was apparently involved in a pool incident in Dubai back in May. This was at the Armani Hotel in Dubai. Now, I believe, don't quote me on this because I might be wrong, that Dubai is far more moderate and far more progressive than, say, Saudi or some other more hardcore Muslim-ruled nations in the Middle East. I'd be wrong about that, but I think that's the case. Dubai, Qatar, they're a little bit more chill. But Antonio Brown pulling this shit over there is crazy because you get arrested for this, you may never get out of jail. You might end up like Brittany Griner. He was caught on video shoving his bare buttocks into the face of a stunned woman in an outdoor swimming pool at a swanky Dubai hotel and then lifting his penis out of the water and whipping it in her direction as wide-eyed vacationers watched in shock. The woman initially laughed off the attention but quickly swam away to escape the controversial gridiron grate. Eyewitnesses said Brown, whose previous off-field antics have gotten him into hot water with the NFL and the league, and remains a free agent after bizarrely quitting on the Buccaneers in the middle of a game last year, had just met the woman and that she was fuming after the encounter. In one video, Brown is apparently nude. Aside from the gold chains around his neck, he is huddled at the edge of the pool with the woman. The woman appears to be smiling as well, like she's having a good time, which I guess she was having a good time until, well, Antonio Brown whipped out his dick and then helicoptered it out of the water in her general direction. Of course, Antonio Brown, being crazy and defiant and a whole lot of money, said basically, oh, this is what they do, the NFL. Whenever there's some heat on them, they try to turn the attention somewhere else. He also said when asked if he condoned stripping in the pool and exposing himself, he texted a reporter saying, do what you got to do, pussy. You white boy's dead already. What? Jason Whitlock, who of course is Jayco's favorite opinionist in sports, pointed out in a tweet, which I thought was appropriate, he said, this is a guy that Tom Brady, with his wife and kids, welcomed into his home to stay with when he first came to Tampa. Actually, with the Patriots, I believe it is. Could be another mistake there. Hold on a second. Let me check this out. Oh, yeah, he did play for the Patriots. When did Antonio Brown move in with Tom Brady? See, this is slowing down the podcast, but I assure you, it's for the best. January 8th of 2021, so he'd be in Tampa at the time. All right. Glad we got that cleared up. Whitlock points out, this is the soulless pursuit of more rings, that Tom Brady did not fucking care that a psychopath and a sexual deviant would be in his house. Granted, it's a huge house. You might not even see Antonio Brown. Be like running into somebody at a Ritz-Carlton. Oh, hey, you're here? Where you been? Oh, I went over on the West Wing. You must have missed me. Well, he's a free agent, anybody. If you want to pick him up, have at him. And he is lucky he's out of Dubai, and he is lucky that Dubai is apparently less strict than some of the other places, and it doesn't look like he is going to be extradited to Dubai to then face charges of helicoptering his dick at a random woman at a hotel pool. You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match
with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, without further ado, let's talk NFL week number 4.
Wow, oh, I mean, those are your words, not mine.
Shots fired! We're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. All right, Eric John Gitter joins us now.
James.
Is it James?
Yeah.
Your brother's John, right?
Correct, there you go.
God damn it. Well, we broke that. Can you hear, by the way, the music?
I cannot hear the music.
Okay, good. That's good to know because I've got the wrong connector, but that's all right. I'll get the connector, and then we will fix that. We are coming to your city from Big and Rich, and I play it because I ask you, Wisconsin grad, 1994. When do you think College Game Day is ever coming back to Madison?
Oh, God, not this year. Not with the state of the program right now.
Ugh. Yeah, well, of course not this year. How about next year? How about the year after that?
I'd have to look at their schedule. Let me see if I can pull up their schedule for next year and see if there's a game. Well, they're going to play Ohio State at home next year, I would assume.
Yeah, well, given the fact they got rolled 1-3 the last meeting, I don't think they're going to send, you know, Lee Corso, if he's even on the show next year, bless his heart. I don't know how many more shows he got in him.
He was not there this past weekend. I don't know if you saw that.
I know. Like, they, Gitter, are going to, I think, be willing to let him die on the set.
It's sad. It is sad. Very sad.
At some point, someone has to pull him aside and say, listen, Lee, I know you love this. But, I know that I know that if we take this away from you, your will to live will probably go to zero. But we can't have you die on the set. We can't literally have you put on the Brutus Buckeye head and then keel over. That'd be bad.
Well, I'm more worried the fact that he's going to put one of these heads on once and then just fall off the stage because he loses his balance.
Well, there's that as well.
There's the cardboard, the chalk outline of him on the ground.
Yeah. They might have an elaborate system of pulleys and straps and safeguards.
Like Weekend at Bernie's. Probably.
Like Weekend at Bernie's. So, all right. I'm trying to find, there is apparently only 7 Power 5 schools that have not yet hosted College Game Day. Did you hear that stat?
I did not hear that.
Okay, what schools do you think, just guessing, have never hosted College Game Day, Power 5? I'm looking it up right now. I already guessed that Maryland was probably one of them.
What about Rutgers?
I think they were hot enough at one point that they went up there.
Yeah, maybe when Shiana was there first time through.
Okay. All right. Oh, you did it. Okay. This story is dated 2019. So you ready?
That's 2022 right now.
Okay. Here we go. You ready? The answer is Cal.
Yeah. Well, so they haven't been good since Rodgers was there.
Rodgers and Marshawn Lynch. That'd be my brother Flim's alma mater.
There you go.
Duke has never hosted.
And not likely to anytime soon.
Illinois has never hosted, although maybe Brett Bielema will get them going. Huh?
No one's going to Champaign-Urbana. That is just geez.
Kansas is going to get off the list this week.
This week, yeah.
Maryland is one. Rutgers is another. Syracuse is another, which is hard to believe given all the Syracuse grads in professional sports broadcasting.
And they might get one this year because they're undefeated, I believe.
All right. Wake Forest, and then Mr. X's alma mater, Virginia.
There you go. Yeah, they Syracuse is undefeated. They beat Wagner this week 59-0.
Yeah. Well, that was nothing because you know who beat Wagner the week before was Stephen F. Austin. I think they beat him 98-0.
Well, I don't know if you saw that. Obviously, didn't watch the Syracuse game, but they shortened the quarters in the second half to 10 minutes.
All right, let's talk about that. Who knew that was even an option?
Never knew it. The only reason I knew it is because that was a rover and over play, and they canceled the bet.
No way. That was one of Mr. X's rover and overs.
I mean, it was. He didn't have it on his sheet, but it was a rover and over play because the line was 53.5 and the over-under was 63.
Oh, my God. All right. All right. I am just digging out from underneath, catching up to all the NFL games. So let's go ahead and let's run down them. You said you were just listening to J.J. Watt's press conference with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He apparently got AFib earlier in the week, was cleared, practiced, and then played.
He practiced on Friday, and he said that the doctors basically said there's nothing that they can do, and the chances of it could happen tomorrow, it could happen 20 years, it could never happen again is what he said. So they said him playing was not going to add to his chance of it happening again.
Right. All right. Vikings beat the Saints in London. Double doink at zeros from 61 yards out.
And he had made a 60-yarder before. Will Lutz.
Yeah, Will Lutz, who's got a big cannon of a leg, and Kirk and the Vikings slip away 28-25 from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Yes, the Vikings were terrible. They should not have won that game. They were 2 of 5 in the red zone.
Really?
And
not
Kirk,
good.
And Kirk was Kirk. Yeah, it was not
Kirk
good.
Was Kirk, although did finish with 273 yards and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson back on the track of producing for fantasy players 10 catches, 147. The Ravens lose to the Bills 23-20. This is one of the hotspot games of the week because John Harbaugh, in his infinite wisdom, with 4 minutes and change to go, on 4th and goal from the three, decides to find his big balls on him and go for it. And, of course, they didn't get it. So the Ravens, the Bills march down the field and kick a short field goal to win the game in regulation. I don't know about this new aggressiveness with coaches. I would have kicked that field goal.
Oh, 100%.
Because
Von Miller, man, still getting sacks. Good real. That guy's everywhere again.
How many sacks did he have in the game?
He had one, but, I mean, it's just he's how old is he? He is just.
Yeah.
Always. He just keeps producing. And Zadarius had a sack in the Vikings game as well.
So I get it that you want to be aggressive. But 4th and goal from the three, I don't know what the numbers are converting. Every yard out from the one you get gets exponentially harder.
Oh, yeah.
So, to me, it's like kick the field goal, take the lead. You get one interception. You get one turnover. You win. You force them into 4 and out because they're probably in 4-down territory, right? The Bills are if they're down 3 with 4 and change to go. You force them to 4 and out, you win. Or at worst, you let them grind down the field and get close, but then they get sort of gun shy at the end zone and they try to kick a field goal and they might miss. Worst case is you go and you tie. There's too much game left. In other words, if there was 10 seconds left, I'd say, okay, go for the touchdown. No, that'd be stupid as well.
Yeah. What am I thinking? I just looked, I typed in the odds of converting a 4th and 3, and it says 48%.
So coin flip.
Basically, yeah.
What is 4th and 1?
4th and 1, according to this, Google says 4th and inches, so less than a half yard, 77%. 4th and 1, 72%. 4th and 2, 59%.
All right. So it's like, and also, I don't know if they account for down near the goal line, which does make a huge difference. Because 4th and 1's at the goal line, you know, you get a 4th and 1 midfield, the defense still has to account for a play action, go deep. Oh, shit, we gave up a touchdown. But there's no back end to defend at the goal line, so it's got to be even tougher yardage there.
Yes.
Okay, the Giants over the Bears, 20-12, and this is another mistake that I made. I've been making a lot of mistakes lately, Gitter. I'm going to try to crack down on that. I said, wow. Saquon Barkley had 31 carries. I did not know that Daniel Jones left the game with an injury. And that's why he only threw 13 passes, and they were using Saquon out of the gun like the Wildcat for much of the day.
Well, Jones had to come back, though, because then Tyrod Taylor got knocked out in that game as well. So Jones Jones started. Yeah, Jones had two rushing touchdowns.
Funny how that is. And what did
and he had 68 yards rushing and 71 yards passing.
So how does a big goof like him actually move so well?
I don't know.
Yeah,
and Justin Fields stinks, by the way. He is 31st in yards, 31st in completions, and 32nd in quarterback rating.
Right. And they'll say he has no weapons. And I'll say bullshit.
Oh, he does have no weapons.
That is true. It was true, but yes, he has no weapons, but quarterbacks who can pass will make some weapons out of somebody.
True. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think he's still on pace for the fewest passing attempts in a NFL season, which would eclipse David Whitehurst of your Packers getter back in 1978. Exactly.
I think he was 12 of 22 yesterday, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Giants, Packers. Giants are 6.5, 7.5 point underdogs, I believe.
Let me look that up here.
Meanwhile, the Falcons beat the Browns 23-20. As Marcus Mariota, once again, humble numbers, but they somehow get the game in hand. Youngway Koo, just like saying Youngway Koo with the big field goal.
I would say those are less than humble numbers. He was 7 of 19.
Yeah, they suck. So, God, 7 of 19. What the hell?
7 of 19.
And no touch for 139 yards, no touchdowns, one INT.
Yep. I have no idea how the Falcons won that game. I mean, Chubb and Hunt combined for 167 yards. I mean, all the stats look like the Browns should have won this game. Mariota stunk, and yet somehow the Falcons won.
By the way, call him Chunt, which is the proper term for that duel.
I have that written down in my notes here that I
call him Chunt.
Down.
They do have a receiver, the Falcons, by the name of Olamide Zaccheaus. Olamide Zaccheaus.
Where's he from?
Played at Virginia. Fourth-year player out of Virginia. So there you go on that. All right. What is the line in the London game?
8. I'm showing.
Packers minus 8. It's at Hotspur Stadium again, right? They're running it back?
It is at Tottenham.
Yes. Tottenham. Yes. Tottenham indeed. By the way, I know you love
41.5, you're over under in that.
Okay.
Game.
I know you love Ted Lasso as I do as well. You once wore a Ted Lasso mustache, real genuine mustache, which was an unfortunate period in your life, but you're over it and that's good. You're a beard guy now. So have you seen where apparently the third season is over budget and delayed because
by a lot.
Yeah, because they keep rewriting the screenplay, the script.
Yeah, they're thinking too much, apparently.
Well, I fear, Gitter, they're going to fuck it up.
I agree.
Yeah. And I don't know what they're going to do to fuck it up.
The whole cast was at a soccer game this weekend, too.
Oh, were they really?
Yeah.
Wow. Including the big unit, the big blonde. What's her name?
Oh, no, they were at the Vikings game. They were at Tottenham.
Oh, they were? Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yep.
Promoting that. The Eagles fall down 14-0 to the Jaguars and then rally for 20 points in the second, and then they hold them off 29-21, your final stay as the only undefeated team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jacksonville, if Sunshine could have held onto the ball, Jacksonville probably wins that game. He had 3 turnovers. 2 of them he just flat-out dropped.
Really?
Yeah, it was raining, so he literally was just twice he dropped the ball like he was running and just dropped it.
So Sunshine does not like the rain.
No.
One pick, two lost fumbles, 11 of 23 for a .174. That Eagles defense is apparently pretty nasty. And Miles Sanders, 27 carries for a .134 and 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
I can't.
And Sunshine had another fumble that he recovered as well. So.
Okay. The Chargers beat the Texans 34-24. Your final score there. Justin Herbert, if his ribs were hurting him, he didn't say anything because he was 27-39, 340, and 2 touchdowns in this game.
A couple firsts in that game. Austin Eckler had the first rushing touchdown for the Chargers in that game, and Brandon Cooks had the first receiving touchdown for the Texans.
Interesting. Does CBS Sports Skitter push out abbreviated box scores?
I don't know.
Because I'm looking at their front page.
NFL.com this morning.
Well, I think CBS Sports does a good job, but I'm looking at their recap, and it's got a little video window if you want to watch the highlights. It's got the narrative recap or the game story, and then it's got stats on the right, which looks to be a miniature box score. And according to the miniature box score, the only person who had a single carry for Houston was Damian Pierce, who went 14 for a buck 31 and a touchdown. That cannot be correct. Can it?
I'm going to pull it up on ESPN right now.
Okay, I went to box score. Apparently, Damian Pierce, the only player who ran the ball for Houston yesterday.
Why not?
Check that for me. If that's correct, then Lovie Smith, you're a fucking idiot. Even if you're not the offensive coordinator, how do you not give the ball to somebody else just to shake it up?
The ESPN box score does indeed show 14 carries, 131 yards.
And nobody else had a carry.
And the team had 14 carries for 131 yards.
Okay, that has to be like a first. It has to be. If not a first, it's pretty damn rare that you have that. But okay, anyway, Texans are still winless. 0-3-1, Chargers improved to 2-2. The Jets beat the Steelers 24-20. Zach Wilson, Zachary Capone Wilson.
Wilson,
welcome back. 18-36. Oofa. That's 50%. 252 yards and an interception. Actually, one touchdown, two INTs. Two INTs in the game. There was a Kenny Pickett sighting. 10 for 13 for a buck 20, but with three picks.
He had two rushing touchdowns as well. So.
Oh, he did, Kenny Pickett.
Yes.
Wow, he had three picks in this game. Is that right?
He did. He had one with just over 3 minutes left that set up the Jets' winning score, actually.
Oh, my God. So is that it for Mitchell Trubisky? Has the sad tromboneski finally been retired? You don't think so?
Seven of 13 for 84. No, he's done.
Oh, he is done. Okay. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
The Seahawks beat the Lions 48-45. In an absolute fantasy box score stat stuffer game. My friend Geno Smith, 320 yards,
good.
Two touchdowns in that game. And what's interesting about this game is that 48-45 getter is a scoregami.
Scoregami? Oh,
it is. For those that don't know, scoregamis are unique scores in NFL history that have never been done before. And I think it's the 1,034th new unique score in NFL history.
Well, there you go.
I would have never guessed 48-45, a number landing right on three. Those are numbers that are not hard to hit.
Yeah, exactly. And the kicker for the Lions missed two extra points. So it would have been 48-47.
Right. 48 is what? Seven touchdowns minus one extra point, right?
Yep.
I mean, you should be able to hit that pretty easy. I would.
Or six touchdowns and two field goals would be 48 as well.
Or it would be 24 safeties, which would be...
That's Iowa's offense, actually. So
exactly. Jared Goff, four touchdowns in the loss. They didn't have Amon-Ra St. Brown. They did not have Swift. But our boy Jamal Williams did have a sweet long touchdown run. I saw that. That
two was touchdowns, and he did not get the penalty for the excessive thrust for scoring the touchdown.
Did he do Hingle McCringleberry?
He did it last week, and he got flagged for it.
No shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. This league. Titans over the Colts, 24-17. As the Titans jump out to a big lead early, 24-10. They hold on and hold off in this one. Derrick Henry, 22 carries, 114 yards and a touchdown. That's the Derrick Henry we know.
Also had about 30 yards receiving as well. And JT, not much. 42 yards on 20 carries.
Justin Taylor also got hurt in the game I saw. And so he got his ankle wrenched, and I'm not sure what the status is on that. We'll find out more today on a Monday afternoon. You know, the touchdown by Derrick Henry, this guy fascinates me. Like, when I watch him run, he's like this big, hot 12-cylinder sports car that just goes, but it looks effortless. It blows me away watching the guy. The Cowboys beat the Commanders 25-10 as Cooper Rush goes to 3-0 on the season, replacing Dak Prescott. I got to believe Prescott is getting closer, But would you dare for a hot second just keep Cooper Rush in until he loses?
Of course. Why would you not?
Because he's not that good. Don't you think?
He had 223 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's a good – I mean, that's all he needs to do with that offense.
Yeah.
And he's 4-0 now because he had to start last year. So
he's 3-0 on the season.
Cowboys.
Yes.
Correct. He's the first Cowboys quarterback to start 4-0 as a starter.
Right. To win his first 4 games out of the gate. Carson Wentz, 25-42, 170. 42 squeezes for 170 of yardage. That stinks. Plus 2 picks on the day. Did have a touchdown. Good luck.
He also fumbled in the red zone late.
Oh, he did. Well, that's what he does. He's a fucking fumbling machine. Oh,
he was so bad.
Here's the big news from that game. Did you see who was photographed with Jerry Jones at the 50-yard line? M. Snyder.
What?
Yes. The guy who is the owner of the team who is not officially suspended, but supposedly having stepped away from day-to-day operations of the team, was photographed with his wife, Tanya, who's supposedly running the team, and Snyder was there. So he has come in off his yacht as a fugitive at sea.
Doesn't he have to now – can he get arrested and go appear before Congress? Did he do that already?
I don't know how that works. I don't think that – I guess they're happy with whatever his testimony is, but the Commanders are 1-3 now. Cowboys are 3-1.
So as a former Commanders fan, how did you feel about the black-on-black?
It sucked because it was a black. It was like a matte black getter.
It was a weird black. Yeah.
It's not full black. I want my black to be like the Black Album from Spinal Tap.
The Saints. Did you see the Saints helmets?
The Saints black alt helmets were fire, except one regard. That wide dotted stripe that came from the front brow of the helmet.
Yeah.
Nah.
I didn't see it up close, but I'm assuming those were mini fleur-de-lis.
Well, then that's
with the dot.
Okay, then that's trying too hard. That's too fancy.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. The Cardinals over the Panthers, 26-16, is now Baker Mayfield getting benched is apparently in the bloodstream. Apparently.
I just read somewhere that Sam Darnold he's able to come off IR, but not even close. So...
Okay.
Baker's still going to be your starting quarterback in that game.
Mayfield, 36 attempts for only 197 yards. Not very good production. Touchdown, 2 INTs. Christian McCaffrey, what the fuck? 8 carries for 27 yards.
He had 81 yards receiving, though. So he did have over 100 yards total.
Oh, you're right. There you go. 9 for 81 on 9 targets. Caught all of his targets. Okay. Cardinals, 2-2 now. So I guess Kingsbury's hot seat has cooled down. Just a little bit.
Well, Hollywood Brown. Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown seem to be getting along nicely, so.
There's that. The Raiders get off to Schneid, and they win their first game of the year, 32-23 over Let Russ Cook. Scores a little bit more, a little closer than it looks because they added an, oh, by the way, touchdown after they stopped
the
Broncos from tying the game late. But Davante Adams had a very Davante Adams-like game, 9 for 101. And Russell Wilson was pretty good, 2 touchdowns, but
he was good.
The Broncos still a work in progress.
Also had a rushing touchdown.
Okay. Wilson was their leading rusher, and Travion Williams, I believe, got hurt in the game, and that is probably what's going to knock me out of guillotine leagues.
No, not Travion. It's Javonte.
Javonte Williams. Thank you.
Yeah, he's out for the season. Torn ACL and LCL.
Oh, great. Great.
Yep.
Well, there you go on
that
front.
That was just announced. A bunch of injury things. They Tua is ruled out already for week 5, apparently.
Okay.
And the Falcons put Cordarrelle Patterson on IR as well.
With what?
He had a knee procedure, it says. So, but expected to be back.
All right. Then you had the Sunday night game. I'm leaving for the Packers game for last year. Sunday night game, Chiefs beat the Buccaneers, 41-31. Your final score there as Patrick Mahomes spread the ball around yet again. They lead the league in the most number of touchdown receivers in terms of numbers of guys.
Different guys, yeah.
Different guys. And look at this. Kelce with 9 catches. MVS with 3 for 63. Juju Smith-Schuster with 5 catches. Moore – Fort's in their tight end, their other tight end, Mecole Hardman, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, McKinnon, this guy, Nate Gray, who's a tight end.
Noah Gray.
Jay Watson. I wish they put the full name in front so I could remember their first name.
Justin Watson.
Justin Watson, the big white guy, wide receiver, number 84 for them. I mean, they're spreading it around. See, like, the Chiefs scored 41 on the Buccaneer defense, which Packer fans said, oh, well, you know, it's got a good defense, so let's not go crazy that they didn't move the ball. Does it make you feel worse, Skitter, that the Chiefs went in there and just bebopped and scattered all over Tampa's D?
Well, the Chiefs are what the Packers are.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, that's the offense you aspire to be. That's what this league is. It's an offensive league, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which brings us to the Packer game. So yeah,
did you see the rushing yardage for Tampa Bay in the game?
No.
3 yards.
Come on! Oh, holy shit! You're right.
6 carries for 3 yards.
Wow. And it was Rashad White with the 6, and then it was Fournette with the -3. What the fuck? That's bad right there. Brady had 52 passes.
52 squeezes,
385 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs. I think I saw a stat saying he's like one of the few quarterbacks to ever have over 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and still lose the game by double digits. So there you go.
There you go.
And then how do you feel about our Packers beating the Patriots, but it took everything and then some, 27-24, your final score in overtime?
Yeah, the challenge, Matt LaFleur, come on. That was a waste.
Oh, did you hear his explanation?
Well, he said it was a bad call, I heard him say.
Oh, let me get it for you here, because it's so infuriating, isn't it, that you are a coach in charge of winning games, and you do dumb shit like you're just a guy on the couch hoping for the referees to bail you out or replay to bail you out.
And especially since they had burned at the second half timeout earlier. So now that could have screwed them in the long run.
Yeah. Here's what he said. You ready?
Sure.
I'm not too proud of that moment. That was an emotional decision, said LaFleur. It was a great learning lesson. You can never make those emotional decisions in the heat of the battle. You know better. You have to survive the ground. Connor Lewis, who's the assistant in charge of looking at replays, is up in the box. He's in my ear, and he said, I don't think so. He said, we shouldn't challenge it. So what'd he do? Challenged
what the
it.
Hell? Yeah, that's bad.
He said, I just made it an emotional decision. It was almost like throwing a Hail Mary that could have come back and bit us in the butt. I'd rather learn from that being on this side. Thank God our guys bailed me out in that regard. Definitely the worst decision of the day by me. Some would say, well, at least he's accountable for it. He's owning up to it. I'd say, no, you're still too fucking casual. These are the things that lose you games. You just haven't lost one yet because you got Rodgers and you're lucky. Stop fucking doing this. By the way, the decision to challenge did hurt the Packers in regulation. Because after losing a timeout, LaFleur had one remaining, and that's it. And the Patriots kind of bled the clock to punt from their own 2-yard line when there is basically no time left. You save one timeout. That's all you do. And you have an extra 40 seconds to go 15 yards for a regulation field goal, not go to overtime.
Exactly.
Damn, fucking stupid. Stop doing that, for God's sakes. All right, and then, well, tonight's game, the results of tonight's game was too late for today's Zabecast.
Exactly.
But let's hope it was a good game last night, shall we? Between the Rams beat the 49ers. Niners were -2 last night. Anything else on the NFL notable from week 4?
I mean, it seems like that the Chiefs are, I think, clearly the best team in the NFL right now, right?
Well, we'll have to see when the Tears of a Clown come out.
Coming out this week?
Yes, it is. I've decided after 4 weeks we have enough data now to do Tears of a Clown. Just see. We don't rank them, as you know, Gitter. No power rankings. They're just on tiers. They're on shelves. And the Chiefs will be on the top shelf. There's no question about it. The question is, who else belongs in the top tier with them?
Ooh.
Tune in later in the week for that, my friend. All right, Getter, I am parked down by the lake. I'm about to get a ticket. You can't hear the music because I don't have the right cable, but I'll get that next time. Otherwise, thank you for helping me recap week number four in the
You're
NFL.
Well.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right, there you go. We'll end on this. If Jimbo Fisher ends up getting whacked at Texas A&M and they have to buy him out, remember, that's my dream, kids, to be bought out of a contract. do nothing and still get all the monies. If he's bought out, from the article I read, and again, this is where I should probably get more information on this, I saw that if he was fired before December 1st, it was going to be like $45 million. And I think if he lasts past then, it's the whole $95 million. Wow. I said that these coaching contracts, some of them, are so lucrative that they would be like Spanish galleons going down to the bottom of the ocean, loaded with gold doubloon. Is that the right word as well? Now I'm questioning everything. Doubloon definition. Yes, Spanish. That's for the a double. A two escudo gold coin worth approximately four Spanish dollars, or 32 reales. Yes, if Jimbo Fisher ends up getting whacked, let's say Alabama runs their ass out of the building, it would be like the Spanish galleon San Jose, a 64-gun, three-masted galleon of the Spanish Armada. Launched in 1698, it sank in the battle off Bauru Island, just off Cartagena, Colombia, while laden with gold, silver, and emeralds worth about $17 billion as of 2022. The sunken ship was finally located by the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. In November of 2015, it was sitting in 600 meters of water. It was announced that a salvage operation managed by the Colombian government would proceed. That is the analogy I was looking for right there, that Jimbo Fisher may be the biggest Spanish galleon that goes down with his contract because of the current insane financial and win now, win big, win even bigger ethos of college football. All right, that is enough for today. Thank you so much for downloading and listening and being part of the Zabecast Nation. All feedback welcome at zabe@yahoo.com, good, bad, and everything in between. I do read it all. I try to incorporate it on future podcasts, but a lot of times I just get backed up by the events of the day and don't have time for it. But I do read it all. I take it to heart. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you next time. You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.